U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, held a first-of-its-kind congressional hearing June 19th on the use of solitary confinement in U.S. prisons, a practice many human rights advocates assert is torture. The hearing took testimony from prison officials, relatives of prisoners, and former inmates on the damaging effects of the practice. The hearing before the Senate Subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Human Rights followed the filing of a class-action federal lawsuit by the Center for Constitutional Rights May 31st on behalf of prisoners at Pelican Bay State Prison in California who have spent between 10 and 28 years in solitary confinement. Under solitary confinement, prisoners are held by themselves in small cells for up to 23 hours per day with 1 hour set aside for exercise. According to the National Religious Campaign Against Torture, studies have documented the detrimental psychological effects of solitary confinement, such as hallucinations, paranoia, and panic attacks. The United States leads the world in the number of prisoners held in prolonged solitary confinement, with at least 80,000 inmates subjected to the conditions on any given day. Rabbi Rachel Kahn Troster, who was at the hearing, is the director of North American programs for the group Rabbis for Human Rights North America and serves on the board of the National Religious Campaign Against Torture. Between the Lines, Melinda Tuhu spoke with Rabbi Troster, who describes the significance of the hearing, how solitary confinement came to be seen as torture, and how congressional attention on the practice could help improve conditions for death row inmates and others.
It was a one-day hearing, and what was significant about it was the first time that the Senate had ever in any way looked at solitary confinement as an issue in American prisons. And it really felt like an exciting and a significant moment for the human rights community. The hearing room was packed. That really underscored how significant it was that the Senate decided to investigate the use of solitary confinement. I think a really significant highlight was hearing from Anthony Graves, who's a former death row prisoner from Texas. He was exonerated 2 years ago. He spent 18 years in solitary confinement in Texas because he was a prisoner on death row. Many death row prisoners are, by definition, in solitary confinement. And he was exonerated 2 years ago, and he's been released from prison. And he spoke about what it was like for him to be on death row and what it was like for him to be in solitary confinement and the ways it still affects him. He says that he still cries every night from the effects of his incarceration. He said he saw people go mad, people who weren't mentally ill before they were put in solitary confinement. People went nuts. He talked about, it was a very shocking moment, about one prisoner gouging out his own eye. I also thought it was really critical that we heard from Christopher Epps, who's the state commissioner of prisons in Mississippi, and he's the longest-serving state prison commissioner in the country. And Mississippi is not a state that's known for being soft on crime, so the fact that he was able to speak about how he had reduced solitary confinement in Mississippi prisons, and he closed one of their supermax prisons, and how effective that had been in making the prison population safer. He spoke about the fact that many of the people in his prisons were mentally ill, and that what we needed was to deal with the mentally ill before they ended up in prison. To hear him say that was incredibly significant, and it highlights the fact that solitary confinement is not a left-right issue. It's a bipartisan issue, and different states with different political persuasions are beginning to take this on and understand that we as Americans have to reduce the use of solitary confinement for all kinds of reasons, whether it's cost, whether it's human rights, whether it's sheer efficacy in keeping prison guards safe, because violence is often reduced in prisons that reduce the use of solitary confinement. We also heard from the head of the Federal Bureau of Prisons, who spoke about conditions in federal prisons, and he largely denied that solitary confinement was causing mental illness, which I know is a subject of a federal lawsuit, so he was somewhat constrained by what he could say. So I think he was speaking from the side that this wasn't such a significant issue, and then we heard from other activists and experts, from psychologists, who were speaking to the fact that this is such an important prison reform issue.
Rabbi Kahn Troster, many people might consider solitary confinement a relatively safe and relaxing way to spend one's time in prison. But in recent years, the human rights community has moved to calling it torture, at least under certain circumstances. How did that come about?
It is pretty extreme, but I think there's a growing psychological consensus that it is torture, that it makes people insane. It's mental torture, and the effects are very long-lasting. We're starting to see studies from psychologists who've been speaking for a long time about how these create long-lasting effects. Last year, the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, Juan Mendez, actually issued a report on solitary confinement as a form of torture, and I think that galvanized everyone. and to beginning to think about this not just as cruel, but as actually a form of torture, that it really does rise to the level of torture.
What do you think might result from the hearing Senator Durbin held?
I think he could introduce federal legislation to study prisons to have an effect specifically on a federal level on the use of solitary confinement in prisons run by the Federal Bureau of Prisons. There's hope that the hearing will galvanize statewide efforts to close state supermax prisons. The governor of Illinois just announced that he's going to be closing the Tam supermax prison in Illinois and encourage other states as well, now that they know that the example of states who've reduced their use of solitary confinement, like Mississippi and Maine, are out there, that they'll follow their lead, and that this will become a national trend. But I think there's a lot of work to be done. For 23 hours prior to the hearing, the National Religious Campaign Against Torture held a solidarity fast. We fasted for 23 hours to symbolize the 23 hours a day that prisoners spend alone, and also because there has been prisoner hunger strikes in Virginia and California among prisoners in solitary confinement, because a hunger strike is often one of the only ways that a prisoner has to protest their condition. So clearly a lot more attention has to be paid. People don't know that this is a problem. They don't know that this is out there. They don't understand that many people are released directly from solitary confinement straight into the community. That's part of the federal lawsuit, that there are federal prisoners who are mentally ill, who's in solitary confinement, who are not being treated for their mental illness because prisoners in federal supermax prisons don't receive psychiatric medication.
That was Rabbi Rachel Kahn Troster with the group Rabbis for Human Rights North America and the National Religious Campaign Against Torture. For more information on challenges to solitary confinement in U.S. prisons, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.